A very good morning and welcome along to another edition of Farm Focus on Clare FM. James Mulhall with you here this morning. Coming up, we've got Teagasc advice on silage and grassland, and we'll also be taking a look at the fallout of the decision to suspend mart operations in light of the coronavirus pandemic. First, though, the weather for the coming days. So today will be another dry day with sunny spells, but it will cloud over at times too, especially during the afternoon, and we'll see top temperatures across the day of 10 to 13 degrees. Cold and dry tonight then, with clear breaks in many areas. We'll see lows of minus 2 to plus 2 degrees overnight. Dry countrywide on Sunday after a chilly start, with frost here in the west. Very cold for this time of year though, with afternoon highs of just 5 or 6 degrees. And looking ahead a bit, cold, frosty and sunny to begin on Monday, but turning cloudier for the afternoon and then brighter again towards evening. Now we'll get to the phone lines, where I've got Kenneth Farrell from Teagasc waiting. Kenneth, good morning.
Good morning, James.
So Kenneth, just to start off with, what are the benefits of spring grass?
Well, James, the benefits of spring grass is the cheapest source of feed that's available to our cattle on our farms, coming in about 7 cents a kilo. When you look at the price of a good quality meal, you're looking at around the price of 29 to 32 cents a kilo. And for a kilo of silage, you're looking at between the prices of 17 to 18 cents. If we look at the benefits then, I suppose the benefits to the cattle is that they're going to achieve a higher live weight gain when they're out in grass. You'll reduce the demand for labour on the farms. Usually there's a build-up of diseases in sheds when they're in for a prolonged period, as they have been for this winter, and there's a less risk of infectious scours to young calves.
Okay, and how is spring grazing going to date?
Well, James, at the moment, spring grazing on farms has been very challenging. If we look back in the month of February and the first 2 weeks of March, there's been very high amounts of rainfall. But over the last week or 10 days, ground conditions have started to improve dramatically. And it's given the farmers the opportunity to get a certain percentage of the cattle out.
So which fields should farmers be looking to graze first?
Ideally, James, farmers should be aiming to graze the drier fields in the farms and the fields that have a lower amount of grass on them. If they graze these fields, the base of the grass is a lot greener. These paddocks will be a lot faster coming back into grass into the second rotation.
Okay, and where should farmers be prioritising their slurry, as the tanks are quite full?
Yeah, it's been very difficult for the last couple of, I suppose, since January to get slurry out on farms. So when a farmer is trying to prioritise which fields should be getting the slurry, they should be looking back at their soil samples, which should have been done over the last 4 years. And based on the soil samples, the farmer should be prioritising fields that have a low P and K index, and also fields that have very little grass present on them. As for farmers go out to a field that has a high cover of grass, the grass will end up having a tainted taste and be very hard to graze it out later in the year. And we're recommending that farmers go out with slurry, if at all possible, with a dribble bar or a trailing shoe, and spread in around 2 to 2,500 gallons of slurry to the acre.
Okay, and what fertilisers should farmers apply?
Well, when farmers are looking at the fertiliser, farmers that have a soil index of 3 or 4 should use a urea-based product, such as protected urea, as it's more stable in the soil compared to a CAN product. In the early spring period, it has the ability to cling onto the soil, and when farmers applying fertiliser in spring, with weather permitting, they should be looking at applying fertiliser when soil temperatures are greater than 5 degrees, as they are at the moment. I suppose this, when a farmer does apply fertiliser, it won't help to grow more grass. It will help to grow more grass, but it also will help for grass to recover for the next rotation.
And what about low index soils then?
So soils that have a low index are usually in the indexes of 1 and 2. So they should receive a compound fertiliser such as 18-6-12 at a bag and a half to the acre on grazing ground, and also a bag and a half to the acre, if they're not going to go to 18-6-12, of 10-10-20 to the acre.
And how should farmers manage silage grounds?
Well, James, over the next couple of weeks, many farmers will be aiming to close silage ground. If we look back at the last autumn, has been, I suppose, stock have been housed early, so they have been removed from pasture since October. These fields have seen good growth over the winter months, but due to the poor weather again in February and early March, it has made it nearly impossible for most farms in the county of Clare to get paddocks grazed. So where farmers need a high quality silage, these fields should be grazed in blocks. Farmers should be aiming to use temporary electric fences to increase utilisation and to get a better graze out of the field. And when they're moving the cattle, they should make sure that the ground is greyer, that the ground is bare and is grazed down to 3.5 centimetres. I suppose the grass that has been growing then since the cattle were housed has built up a lot of dead material in the butt. If we look at the butt now present in grass, it's a yellowy colour. So there's a very high importance that farmers do get to graze down this grass tight over the next week or 10 days and aiming to achieve a very leafy silage and reduce the amount of dead material when they are cutting their silage.
And why is it important to graze silage ground then?
The importance of grazing ground is that you're going to eat off all the dead material. That's the first importance. The next thing you're looking at that you're going to improve the digestibility of the plant is that you're going to have more green leaf when it comes to harvesting. And also you're going to improve the tillers in the crop, which will lead to a bulkier crop. This is the exception to fields that were grazed off in the end of December. So some people might have had whalings or lighter stock out for these months. So the grass quality in them swaths at the moment still would be quite high value. So they wouldn't need to be grazed. When we're looking back then at these that have the fields that were grazed late in the year that had the high grass quality, what we're recommending to do with them is get 2,500 gallons of slurry out and fertilise it to them straight away. And if the farmers then have a very, very heavy crop of grass on the farm at the moment, what we're recommending is that they don't get any slurries at the moment, that they receive a compound fertiliser and that grass is harvested early from them paddocks.
Okay, and what's the target date for closing silage grounds?
The target date for closing is between the 1st of April to the 10th of April.
And just on a final note then, Kenneth, how much silage would a farmer need and what quality should they be looking for the coming winter?
So for the coming winter, James, this is, I suppose, the question that many farmers will have to ask themselves now before they start to close off meadows is, what stock do they expect to have on the farm for the winter coming, and also how long do we expect the winter? If we look at the winter of 2019 to 2020, most farmers in the Clare region are looking at 5 to 6 months winter, so the winter has been starting to get longer, unfortunately. For a suckler farmer that's feeding a dry cow over the winter months that's in good body condition score, she needs 66% D&D silage. So to achieve getting a 66% D&D silage, farmers are aiming to be cutting this grass in around the 9th of June to before the 15th of June. And I suppose this will lead to a heavier crop for the farmers, but this will not be suitable stock. So for growing stock, then they will need the silage to be cut earlier. And the growing young stock on a farm will require a silage that has 70% DMD. So to achieve this silage, that farmers are aiming to be cut in between the 20th to the 25th of May. It's for this reason then that some farms will take out earlier cuts for the younger stock and later cuts then for their suckler cow.
We'll leave it there, Kenneth. Thanks a million for joining me this morning.
Thanks very much, James. Mind yourself.
Kenneth Farrell from Tagus there. We'll take a quick break now. Welcome back to Clare FM's Farm Focus. James Mulhall with you here this morning. Now, we're still in the grips of the coronavirus crisis, and of course this is likely to go on for quite a bit longer still. So this week we saw the Taoiseach outline the latest measures, which saw all non-essential businesses closed for the foreseeable, which unfortunately did include the marts. So firstly, to react to this, I've been speaking with manager of Clare Marts, Martin McNamara.
This is a huge blow. We felt that we had put in a huge effort over the last 10 days. With the protocols that were in place and they were being observed, and social distancing was taking place, and we were still providing the mechanism that people could trade. But unfortunately, now the whole lot is pulled for the moment.
The ICOS has said that it's disappointed by the move, given, like you said, the efforts that were put in. How is this going to actually impact on yourselves and on farmers over the next few weeks?
Well, I suppose the biggest impact is on farmers. There is quite a number of farmers, and there's a lot of stock normally traded in the month of April, and that's now going to be seriously curtailed. The other thing about it was what determines the market price now. No matter what transaction took place, even if they were farm to farm or whatever, they were based on the market price that was prevailing at the sales in the previous week, and that's no longer facility will be available. But obviously we'll have to look from that to see what services we can provide and what services we'll be allowed to provide. And we're working with the department at the moment to see what we can do and what we can't do. And I suppose it will take a couple of days before we'll have clarity on how we can operate.
And the hope would be that there might be something that you can do while this closure is in place, maybe provide some level of service.
Yes, that would be the hope, that there'd be some level of service. Maybe if we could even do a dating service, shall we say, between sellers and buyers with the weighing facility, where we do all the paperwork and etc. and look after payments, etc. Something like that, it'll have to be looked at, but we have to wait and see if what the department are going to allow us to do.
And this obviously is kind of changing day in, day out and week on week as well. But, you know, these restrictions are put in now till April 19th. So it is quite a lengthy closure that you are facing and businesses like yourselves.
Yeah, I think most farmers and Macs would be happy if they thought the 19th of April was the definitive date. But realistically, I suppose we'd be a fear that that date will be extended.
And if this does drag on too long, what kind of an impact do you think it's going to have on the farming sector as a whole?
Well, so the farming sector has been under serious pressure for the last 12 months. This time last year, we were in the mix of Brexit. Then we had the beef blockade, shall we say, in the back end. So thereafter, a term 12 months, things were looking up. Trade had been reasonably good since after Christmas up until the last week or 10 days. When the uncertainty hit in, and the effect that all this is having on the beef trade and possible demand for beef as well is another factor that has to be considered.
And I suppose the true price of this on the marts and on the farming sector, and I suppose across the board as well, all non-essential shops have closed now. You won't actually know how much damage this is going to do for a number of months yet, I imagine.
No, it's going to be serious damage, I would say. There could be animal welfare issues maybe beginning to rise in some farms. There are a lot of farms that need to get stock sold. Cash flow could be a huge issue, and that in itself will create huge mental anxiety on a lot of farmers.
And just on a final note then, Martin, what message would you have for the Department of Agriculture and I suppose the government as a whole? Obviously these restrictions are in place for a reason, but what message would you like to put out there for the marts?
Well, what I would like to say is that there was quite a number of marts operating under very strict and tight controls and providing a service, and social distancing was practices. And I believe that an element of trading could take place with very strict protocols and management. And we'd hope maybe that some bit of relaxation may take place, insofar as that we can provide service in some form or shape. As of yet, what that will compose of, we're not sure.
Martin McNamara there, and now to Martin McMahon, who is the Clare Chair of the ICMSA. He's been sharing his thoughts on this with me.
Actually, it's going to have a huge impact, James, because, you know, always this time of the year, it's crucial that the cattle are moving from one farm to another and going to marts, because the farmer who has had cattle all the winter may not have a place to keep them from now on. And then there's farmers who want to buy cattle, and they'll need to be buying cattle to draw their single farm payment and also for the ANC payment. And those people will be out this time of the year now buying for that, and also to feed their grass and keeping good farming practice. So it's going to have a huge detrimental effect on the whole famine as we know it. And I suppose the other side of it as well is that, you know, where farmers in where feedlots are operating and they have cattle ready to go to the factory and they need to replace those cattle, and they're in business to buy cattle, and the farmer who has them can't sell them. So, like, if that happens then, when the cattle that are killed in the feedlots, and they'd be working on a system where in another 6 months, if they bought in cattle now, they would have them, or maybe in 3 or 4 months, they have cattle ready to go again. So the food chain could be seriously affected by this. And I suppose at a time like this, when there is a crisis where you have this coronavirus, it's very important that people eat properly and that they keep up their immune system. And if you haven't eaten in the day, well, how can you expect to keep up your immune system and keep ahead of it and make sure that people are healthy? Because definitely have a better chance if you do get a virus, if your immune system and you're in a healthy state, you have a better chance than if you don't. If it is hard to get meat, whatever type of meat, whether it's beef, lamb, or whatever it is, a pork, it's going to have a huge knock-on effect. So I think that there needs to be a lot of thought put into it, and I think that the fact that Ireland is always trading in cattle from one farm to another and also exporting cattle, I think it's crucial, and I suppose it's crucial to other countries as well, because we'd be sending cattle to Italy and sending them to France and sending them to other countries, and I think that they'll also want to make sure that their food chain is kept supplied. So I think that's going to be crucial, but I think it was, from what I could see, the masks were working very well, and they were adhering to all the regulations that was put in place, and I think that it was quite safe if everybody adhered to the regulations. And what I mean by that, I mean keeping the safe distance and doing the right things. And also, masks could have been spread out. We'll say you could have a day for calves, and maybe like whether there'd be a day that would be a big sale could be also spread over 2 days. And this would also help to bring down the number of people in the mats at any one given time. And I think that, as I say, the mats were doing quite a very good job, and they were making sure that everything was adhered to, and they had the sanitizer, the people were wearing gloves, and everybody that went into the mat were wearing gloves. So from that point of view, if you touched anything, it wasn't with that hand, it was with his gloves. So I think it was quite safe. And I think that something will have to be put in place, because cattle need to move. Otherwise, there will be chaos where people have too many cattle going into the summer and more people not having enough of cattle. So I think it's crucial that something is either to put the mats back in place and make sure that the rules are kept to, which, as I say, were being kept all along. And I can't understand why they had to close them, because I think there was a very good job being done, and I think it was a pity to close it down at such short notice.
And like has been outlined by Martin McNamara of Clare Marts, you know, this comes at a time when farmers have, you know, you've had your issues over the past 12 months or so. There's been the beef price controversy, which dragged on for so long. And look, the beef price isn't quite where farmers would like to see it now, even. And then this, on top of all of those issues, is really, you know, it's another kind of hammer blow for farmers.
Well, sure, to put people out of business, James, there'll be people that won't survive this. If this is to continue, they won't survive. And I think that that something has to be done. And I think that, as you say, they have been hammered over the last 12 months, and especially the beef price. And I think that the fact that they're pulling the price now is not justified. And I think it's a disgrace, because the demand for beef is going to be huge for beef and lamb and pork at the present moment. And I can't understand why factories would be pulling the price. I think they're just taking advantage of the system at the present moment, and I think it's very unfair.
And this obviously is only in place at the moment until the 19th of April. We don't know what's going to happen after that, because we don't really have any indication of how much more widespread COVID-19 is going to be by then. But would the concern be that this might drag out a little bit longer, because we are hearing from the top down that, you know, we're not quite at the peak of the virus yet, so we don't really know how long this might go on for?
Well, you see, James, the 19th of April is even quite a long time for people this time of the year, because an awful lot of people are planning ahead to close middles for silage, and they have too many stock at hands, and they need to offload stock. And if there isn't an outlet to do that, how are they going to plan ahead? And what's going to be the end result when it comes to this time next year? I think an awful lot of people, if something isn't done, that there will be serious problems, and it will actually put some people out of business. So I think that the department needs to look at it, and Europe needs to look at it also. And like, we were only recovering from tough times, as you say, with the price of beef and everything being so bad so long, and still bad literally in the south. Such a difference between the south and the north is not justified, and it will have an awful effect. So definitely something needs to be done, both from an Irish point of view and from a European point of view.
Martin McMahon there. And that brings us to the end of the show this morning. The podcast will be online, of course, from tomorrow. And in the meantime, stay safe, stay at home, and stay with us here on Clare FM. We'll keep you company until this is all over.
Farm Focus was sponsored by Munster Group. Munster Insurance and Financial Limited, trading as Munster Group, are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.